We didn't lose Fabian and everybody's in tears.
Yes, yeah, because the son, it's Rukmini's wedding.
Yeah.
So how do you, it's so, how do you say it? Oh, so funny. Wow. So you even have a remote getting high tech. And that, what is that? That one's your one. So she does audio and you do video. I see. You need a clapstick? No? Okay. I say, Rukmini's message to Lord Krishna. Take 47. Okay. Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahanau bhunaktu sahaviryan karavavahai tejasvinavadhitamastamavidvishavahai Om shanti shanti shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Okay, so, okay. Page 37. Sri Rukmini continued, since I will be staying within the inner chambers of the palace, you may wonder, how can I carry you away without killing some of your relatives? Right, because otherwise you have to come into the house, and then when you come into the house, then there'll be a fight, and so then you might kill relatives, and so the girl may not be so much appreciative of that. You know what I'm saying? Because generally Shishupal and them that you don't mind getting killed, they won't be in the inner chambers of the house. They'll be outside. Right? But I shall tell you a way. On the day before the marriage, there's a grand procession to honor the royal family's deity. And in this procession, the new bride goes outside the city to visit goddess Girija. Okay, so she's going outside the city. So that makes it even more easy, because then all the armies are out there. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, Rukmini told Krishna not to be concerned that the fighting would take place within the palace and that many of her family members, including other women, might thus be wounded or even killed. As the king of a country thinks of diplomatic ways to achieve his object, Rukmini, being the daughter of a king, was diplomatic in suggesting how this unnecessary and undesirable killing could be avoided. Like this, all in a marriage, right? All good, clean fun, right? She explained that it was the custom of a family to visit the temple of goddess Durga, their family deity, before a marriage. The Kshatriya kings were mostly staunch Vaishnavas, worshipping Lord Vishnu in either Radha Krishna or Lakshmi Narayan form. Still, for their material welfare, they used to worship goddess Durga. Like I remember doing, deity installations on the western side of India. It's always generally Radha Krishna, but they also Durga. You're installing the Radha Krishna deities, but they expect that the Durga one will also be Radha. So that means that's their main worship, but for the material side, they do like that. They don't understand Radharani's the original Durga, so it's already taken care of. But just traditionally, that's how it works. They never made the mistake, however, accepting the demigods as the supreme lord on the level of Vishnu Tattva, as do some less intelligent men. To avoid the unnecessary killing of her relatives, Rukmini suggested it would be easier for him to kidnap her while she was either going from the palace to the temple or else returning home. So either she's going into the temple or coming out of the temple. But at that point, because it's outside the city, then only a few people will, the procession will be there. Generally, it'll be more of the military and that. So if there is fighting, then it's not a problem. Because fighting amongst the military men, you know, if somebody gets hurt there, that's par for the course. They consider that, you know, standard. But you wouldn't want it to happen in the house like that. So that's why for the Rakshasa marriage, it means the girl is taken. So generally that would mean she's just in the house. And so then it will be, can be a messy affair. So, but you see with the kings, then it's less of a problem because of the palaces and all these different things that come out for these different pujas or that. If it's a Swayamvar, then it has to be in a very big open area. And so then the only ones that are there are the other kings. Right? If the, Rukmini concluded, O lotus-eyed one, great souls like Lord Shiva hanker to bathe in the dust of your lotus feet and thereby destroy their ignorance. If I cannot obtain your mercy, I shall simply give up my vital force, which will have become weak from the severe penances I will perform. Then, after hundreds of lifetimes of endeavor, I may obtain your mercy. Right? So that surrender means that I'm willing to put in that effort. It's not that, you know, it's happening now or forget it. Right? They're committed to the whole process. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book. Rukmini said that she did not think anyone was greater than Krishna, not even Lord Shiva, who is known as Mahadeva, the greatest of all demigods. Lord Shiva also seeks the pleasure of Lord Krishna in order to be delivered from his entanglement in the quality of ignorance within the material world. Although Lord Shiva is the greatest of all souls, Mahatmas, he keeps on his head the purifying water of the Ganges, which emanates from a hole in the material universe made by the toe of Lord Vishnu. Right, so these things aren't necessarily seen as that. That's why he keeps it, because it's coming from Lord Vishnu's feet. So technically, he's keeping Lord Vishnu's feet on his head at all times. Right, that blessing. That. So that's why he's the greatest of Vaishnavas. It's always absorbed. He doesn't keep, he's a Kinchana Gochara, he has nothing. So all he has is his service to Krishna. Since even Lord Shiva must purify himself for this purpose, surely it would be difficult for Rukmini, who is only the daughter of a Kshatriya king. Thus she desired to dedicate her life to observing severe austerities and penances, such as fasting and going without bodily comforts. If it were not possible in this lifetime to gain Krishna's favor by these activities, she was prepared to die from such austerities and to undergo similar difficulties lifetime after lifetime. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that pure devotees of the Lord execute devotional service with great determination. Such determination, as exhibited by Rukmini Devi, is the only price for purchasing Krishna's favor. Right? Because there's nothing material that impresses Krishna, since it's all him anyway. So it's just that affection that the individual living entity can have towards the Lord. That's what attracts his attention. Because otherwise, all the potencies, all the opulences, everything is him. So there's nothing on that platform we can do to impress it. Yes.
Maharaj, we always say that the most important is the intent.
Yes.
And here, what's important is her determination.
Yes.
So can we say that sometimes the mechanical determination is there and the intent is not so obvious? Like you do want to please Krishna, you know, it's obvious.
Yes, yes. But that means that will be, you know, devotional service. That will be appreciated by Krishna. But the more we start to see it always in connection with Krishna, then the more he'll be pleased by it.
Maybe I should paraphrase. If we do that and we intend to please Krishna, but we don't have the feelings.
But it's the same thing. You just continue doing that. Because it's a matter of how you say, by the association with the devotees, you know, and hearing and chanting in that association, worshiping the deity, those five main aspects, then we'll become attracted to Krishna, but two, become purified of those things that keep us from being attracted to Krishna. Does that make sense? Like that. Such a nice answer, I just absorbed him.
Tears.
Yes, yes, like that. The tear meister here is like that. Bringing out the Mahava. Right? So the whole point is that we just continue, because here the determination is a determination in that faith, that surrender. Remember before she said about that surrender to Krishna. So she's so committed to that surrender and service to Krishna that she has the determination that if Krishna doesn't accept her at this time, she will then continue trying to get his favor lifetime after lifetime. So we see that determination is part of that surrender. So to that degree, we're surrendered. To that degree, then it's... Because what we see is that the process then has all these levels. I mean, all the aspects of surrender are there, but then they'll go through their positions. So that we see that, okay, we're not this body, that we're the soul, we're servant of Krishna, that starts the process rolling. Right? Then, having accepted that, then we accept those activities that are favorable and reject those that are unfavorable for the process of devotional service. Right? As we advance more to the next level, then we see it from the point of... No, it didn't work. You swung your bag. Didn't clear the smoke. Good try, though. Good try. That focus, that determination. We were just talking about that, you know. So.
Maybe we can hold it a out.
You could just take it over to the edge for a few minutes until the till the eyes stop burning, and then bring it back. Goggles. Means you have to sit. We could give out goggles for the, those World War One, you know, the aviator goggles. I guess you could wear swimming ones also, right? They're quite
not as cool.
Not as cool. Like that. Yeah, just put it on the brickwork there.
Outside people experience. They're not going.
Maybe that's it. We should just have it there. And as soon as they talk to Stan, then, you know, they just keep talking. Stick the guys in the drain there next to the bushes and just stand. That could work.
Actually, they are curious. And they stop in the air, they see fire.
Okay. Oh, okay.
That's where they're stopping.
Yeah.
Oh, that's where they're stopping. What are we talking about? We're talking about so many things.
First time.
Oh, yes, yes. So then when you get to a more advanced stage, then you start seeing Krishna as our protector and maintainer. So rather than I'm my protector and maintainer, Krishna is. We do our duties to please Krishna, serve Krishna, and then he takes care. Then it comes around to the original point, but now with that point of realization where we identify as Krishna's servant. Not just we philosophically heard that. And we understand, and therefore we keep that meekness, humility, and all that. So those will be the natural forms that it will take, the surrender. So with that, then if you have that determination, then things move very quickly. So the good qualities are servants of the devotional process. But they themselves aren't devotional service. So the knowledge, the renunciation, all, you know, determination, all these things are useful in serving. So if you use them in Krishna's service, then they're a nice thing to use. But on their own, they don't create devotional service. Otherwise, there are people who are humble, tolerant, all the brahminical qualities, they have great knowledge, they're very renounced, but they're not devotees. So in connection with devotional service, then they're quite useful. So that's the point, and since they're parts of devotional service, you don't have to separately cultivate them. You're aware of them, because Lord Chaitanya says you should be humble and tolerant. So when there's opportunities to express that in your devotional practice, you do. You know, or at least you're open to the concept. Right? Rather than, you know, think that I am, you know, how you say... Not empowered, not enlightened. What's that meaning? You know, like the rich kids, they think that they're entitled. Entitled. Like that. So we don't become distracted. We know what the process is. We know how it works, so we know what qualities are to be used. But when it's time to use them in devotional service, that's when we apply them. We don't have to separately cultivate them. Right? You know, it's like you don't have to separately practice cooking when there's no need to eat. Right? Whenever, since we need to eat quite often, then, you know, there's plenty of time to practice. So in devotional service, since it's something you can do 24 hours a day, there's always the opportunity to practice. And in all different situations, then the different qualities required, you know, come up. Right? Does that make sense? So according to the time and place, then they come up. Okay. Okay.
This point that you have made right now, that is not about the qualities, it's about the devotion. I have made this about minimum 10 times in the last 4 months. So Maharaj, it is a very simple thing to understand. It's not about your qualification, M.Tech, Master's, M.D. degree. It's about the devotion. And not about, you know, anything, any material. What is stopping the ISKCON devotee from understanding a very simple point?
It's a matter of faith, as we discussed in the morning. Is that you have Kamal Shraddha means you have faith in Krishna and that devotional service and this and that, but there'll be a lot of natural attachments to your own position and what you value. Not seeing that. When that comes in the Madhyama platform, it means the Madhyama faith, not Madhyama in Kanista Madhyama Uttama as in the Adhikara. This is a different overlay. Same principle, because you always have the neophyte Madhyama Uttama you can apply to anything. Right? Does that make sense? Like that. So then when it comes to that Madhyama aspect, then that faith becomes more mature. Then you take up the process, you know, nicely and you know, like that. But then when that comes to the Uttama platform, then that brings you to the pure devotion. So then the steadiness in devotional service, that goes on nicely. That naturally then progresses into Aruchi Ashakti Bhava to Prema. Does that make sense? So it's just a matter of sadhana bhakti is what Lord Chaitanya recommends is what you're going to practice to bring yourself to prema. Without sadhana bhakti, you're not going to get there. But it's not the activities specifically that you're doing, it's the faith in the activities. Right? And so because you have faith, you do them. Because otherwise, smartas do the same thing we do without faith. So that's the point is, Varnashram isn't part of devotional service, but if you have material desire, you have to use Varnashram, because otherwise how do you fulfill that desire in a way that can be connected to Krishna? Right? But just following Varnashram without Krishna consciousness, then you know you're going to end up somewhere where you wish you didn't. Right? Does that make sense? Because it's not going to give you devotional service. So that's the whole thing is that before that, we're looking at more from these lower levels of faith. But now, in the 10th canto, that's why it's been mentioned so often, now it's supposed to be functioning at that Uttama platform of faith, that what the scriptures say is absolute truth, and we will practice that because it pleases Krishna. The Vedas are Krishna's breathing. That means what the Shastra says is Krishna. That's what he likes. He follows Shastra. So if he follows it, why wouldn't we follow it? Right? If we want to interact with him as a person, he's following. Now we'll be able to interact and he's not following it? I mean, we're not following it? How would that work out? You know what I'm saying? Like that. You know, Krishna goes down to the side of the Jamuna to dance. He doesn't go to the disco. Right? So it's just that's how it works. So if we have that kind of faith, then these things make sense. And if we don't, then it doesn't make sense. So it's just a matter of faith. But as we mentioned, that before it was just a matter of having that faith and surrendering it and moving forward like that. And if it wasn't making sense, chant more, read more, you know, do more direct devotional activities. Nowadays, you get the distraction that if I have more knowledge and more skills, especially in management, somehow or another, why don't they do economics? You know, it's like, you know, they're talking about management. We'll manage all the things, but there's no money to manage. And what's the point of management if there's no money? So why don't they do economics? That would be much more practical, right? So the problem comes is that by that, then we can say, oh, he has more knowledge. He's done this. He's more advanced. Rather than it's based on actual Shraddha. Does that make sense? So we can doubt scriptures, but we have this knowledge and this skill, so therefore they're advanced. So it's just a distraction. So it's just faith, that's all. It's nothing else, actually. Does that make sense? Otherwise, then it's just a matter of hearing it and association. So it also could be as they don't, that people aren't associating with those that discuss this. And so then that way, even though they may have that faith, so what aspects they do know that they're following very nicely. But if it's a matter of they're not necessarily following the standards given by the Shastra, but using modern methodologies and modern standards and values, then that will be less faith. Like that. But if the faith is strong, but they just don't have a wide range, then it's just a matter of association. So, you know, so that's why we see we're studying how we're doing. Is that so? Technically, we see all the points that are made, and then we see how nicely and pleasantly Prabhupada said that. You know how poetically he said that. So that makes sense. Yeah. Yes.
You know that faith is increased by experience. However, at this point, Rukmini, she doesn't have any experience with Krishna yet. So how is that she has such a firm faith?
Because hearing and chanting Krishna's name, form, qualities, pastimes, just hearing about it, are non-different from him. So she is associating with him.
So you mentioned previously we're following exactly the same process she did.
Yes, but we're just not doing it to as much as she is. She's 24/7 thinking about Krishna. Well, we won't do that much. So, following what she does, to what degree we do that, we get that benefit. But just she's doing it more intensely, therefore she's getting more benefit. And of course, ultimately, the point is she is the internal potency, so, you know, she's got a head start there. You know, so it's just natural that she sets the standard, everyone else follows that. Does that make sense? So you have her as that main standard, then you have the other queens as the variety of, means the other seven queens as varieties within that. She's the primary, and then you have other flavors as that. Then you have the 16,100. That's not counted in the way example for us, other than just that surrender to Krishna and that dependence on Krishna. But that we already see in the others. Does that make sense? So, yeah. So it's just seeing what they do, that's what we do. So that's why it's important what we're discussing this morning about that principal point of that servitorship. Because that we can take here from Rukmini. Right? But her mood in serving Krishna, the specifics of it, that we're not taking. That we'll take from the Vrajvasis. But the generic, then you have the general generic of just Vaishnavas, that they all see themselves as servant of Krishna. So no Vaishnava in the spiritual world or no pure devotee here will have any difference of opinion on that point. Now, according to flavor, whether it's opulence or sweetness, then that will be a specific. And then within that, what are the details? Then that just gets more and more detailed. So then you follow specifically there. But the general point of surrender to the Lord, that's why you can take her prayers, Kulashekara's prayers, Yamunacharya's prayers, anyone's prayers, and we see is that there's so much value here for us. Even Daksha's prayers. Right? He's giving these nice prayers about Krishna, and we can take them and apply them in pure devotion. Whether he is or not, that's another thing. You know, it's like that verse, I never remember who it's about, but this one knows, you know, what is it?
Shiva knows. I know. He may know.
Shiva may or may not know. Yeah, like that. Like that. So then you get that aspect is that he may or may not know. It doesn't matter. But the Hamsaguya prayers are there because they're talking about Krishna. He's there with Krishna, his realization of Krishna and all that. Now what he wants, what's his intent in that, that's another thing. But the value is there. So that's why the Bhagavatam, any aspect of it, the Vaishnavas take it and they're able to advance in devotional service. But in specifics, then they're going to take from the realm that they're there. So for us, the whole Bhagavatam can inspire us to surrender to Krishna and how to be surrendered to Krishna and the importance of devotional service. Now, of that, what particular flavor, then that will be Braj. Does that make sense? So that's known. And then within that, then we'll see what, as time goes, as we become purified. Right? Because it's not that you're putting something there. You're awakening what's already there. You know, this idea is, no, only if I hear about this, then that will happen. No, it's a matter of whatever's there will be awoken. And so you can hear from anything and it can be awoken. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So, if we're hearing from the right source, we're hearing from the Brajvasis, right? Who are these commentaries by? Right? They're all by the Brajvasis. And so by hearing from them, the angle on these different things, that's how then it will develop. Does that make sense?
So it's somewhat scary, you know, if we evoke something we don't want. What's going to happen?
How would you invoke something you don't want?
You know, I have my own ideas.
But your own ideas based on what? Pure devotion or conditioning?
Pure devotion, but as you explained, you know, pure devotion in the Bhagavatam, it's the whole range.
Yes, but what I'm saying is that we're worried about, will I like what who I am or not?
Yeah.
Is that based on pure devotion or is that based on conditioning? That's the whole point. So as we come purified, then we'll be cool with whatever it is. Does that make sense? You know, so it's just, that's because the point is every living entity has a natural position and relationship with Krishna. That they add something. And if you're doing what is your nature, you're satisfied. Because you're doing what is your nature to please Krishna, then Krishna being satisfied, you are satisfied. Does that make sense? Because the whole thing is there. It's just like, okay, you have the king and the queen, okay? And then they have all their you know, palace servants. So these different servants, they add different things that are there. Technically, all those aspects, how are they able to offer those services? Why would those services be valuable unless the reciprocation of those services or the origin of those services are there in who you're serving? Does that make sense? So it's because they like to eat, so therefore being a cook has some meaning. Does that make sense? So therefore the natural nature that is there is already part of their already unlimited qualities. And we can then bring that out as a flavor. Does that make sense? So, all the different devotees are there, they all perform their activity. And they assist, and so within that you have assisting in this, you're doing that, and so many different things. So it keeps you busy, it's fine. Just like now, the particular values that we have may be very different from others, but we're fully engaged. Does that make sense? While if you go to somewhere else, very different values, but they're engaged. So whatever our nature is, we'll be engaged. Does that make sense? And at the same time, if you're worried about a particular relationship, there's a possibility that maybe that is the relationship. Otherwise, why are you worried about it? But the point is you have to worry about it in the right way. You know what I'm saying? The five-year-old girl's not taking the boys out into the bushes because she's worried about, you know, marriage later. You understand? It's just like she said, Rukmini, this is my time. So now this is the worry. Before this, it wasn't her time. And day after tomorrow, it won't be her time either, right? Because then it's Shishupal's time, right? So that aspect one doesn't actually have to worry about, because that what one is naturally drawn towards. But the point is you can only use it in a pure state. That's why we're emphasizing the aspect of the sadhana, because even you have an idea of what you would like to do, you can't do it until you come to the platform of bhava. That's just the way it is. Does that make sense? Like the girl wants to have children, but she can't do that till she's married. So it's the same thing. One wants to serve, you know, as whatever relationship in Vrindavan that one's interested in, but you can't do that until you're on the Uttama platform. You can't render services before that because you're not there. Only when you can function in your Swarup can you do services. And even then, to actually be directly doing services, you can only do once you come to the point of samadhi. So therefore, the point of always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna, make everything about Krishna, always trying to please Krishna, that's the point the samadhi is about. It's exclusive. So as long as it's about Krishna and, you know, the TV show, or Krishna and my, you know, how you say, Facebook, or Krishna and something else, then it's not on that platform. Does that make sense? So we'll look at it in Smarana Dasa. Generally, you know, we'll be on that first level or maybe second level. You know, occasionally thinking about Krishna, or more regularly thinking about Krishna. Does that make sense? So that's the idea, is that even that's there, you have the idea, that's what it's going to be, you can't use it till then. That's why the emphasis is put on your performance of devotional service. Right? Developing that proper attitude. Does that make sense? But it's not technically the activities that are doing it. It's our attitude in which we want to please Krishna and Guru. That's why we're and that's why we're doing it. That pleases Krishna. So it's not that offering the arti, you know, well, that itself gives you love of God, because then if that's the case, you can speed it up. You know, so therefore you start doing the... does that make sense? So it's a delicate thing that when you're dealing in one area or the other, it's easier to discuss. But when you're dealing with the range, then you have to be more careful, because the following of the rules and all that is something we have to do as long as we don't have that natural attraction to Krishna. Right? And that's the reason that we're doing devotional service. Yes.
Mahaprabhu mentions in the short verse Kirtaniya Sadahari.
Yes.
And this is perfection for us. That's
yes.
What Vrijavasi is doing, that's what
yes.
We're trying to
yes.
do.
Yes, yes.
Then the what is the use in that sense, if that's the perfection of the other five next verses? Because it's
because that's what comes from it. It's just like let's put it in another context. Okay. We have the right attitude, we do the right activities. From having the right attitude and doing the right activities, we get paid. Okay? And hopefully then that is, you know, how you say, sada, right? It's always being paid, right? So now one could ask, now that you've gotten paid and that's the perfection, getting the money, what's the point of, you know, things like investing, going shopping, you know, doing things with the money? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's the whole point, is that when you, it's on that platform of Kirtaniya Sadahari, then you see is that then you have no interest in anything else. You do see yourself as servant of Krishna. You all become attracted to Krishna. You have that taste in the holy name. You become attached to Krishna. And you develop prema. So that's the whole point, is that that's the thing. The Samkirtan mission is the situation once in. The chanting is the main thing, even though we don't have any taste for it. But if we apply that with the proper attitude, then we can always go on chanting. So therefore, then we give up the material attachments. We see ourselves as servants of Krishna, and that's all that we want. We see, you know, like that. It develops from there. Does that work?
Yeah, because in one sense it's a bit confusing, because here is Kirtanya Sadahari on one side, and then there are stages when it becomes even more perfect.
Yes.
And it's kind of...
But Krishna is always perfect and always becoming more perfect with every moment. So that's the perfection of perfection, is that can always be more perfect. And not be anything less. While here... we'll say something's perfect, but it's only in the temporary sense, because something's perfect and then tomorrow it's not perfect anymore. Right? It's temporary, so it's always changing. While the spiritual world, it's perfection because it's always connected to Krishna. So that's perfection. So Kirtaniya Sadahari is because it's always connected to Krishna. That makes it perfect. And now, that's perfection there, but higher than perfection is then developing the relationship. So when we use the term perfection, we mean liberation, or Brahma-Bhuta. Then you have developing your attachment to Krishna and developing love for Krishna. And once you get to that platform of that affection for Krishna, then that platform, that will be maintained eternally, and that will just get deeper and deeper and deeper. Because Krishna is unlimited, so you're connected to Krishna, it's unlimited. We're not unlimited, but connected to Krishna, then we experience the unlimited. That's why it can't be described with words and this and that. So they can describe the process and different things, but the experience, that can't be described. It's never described. No one attempts to describe it. Though the facts say it can't be described. You know, other than it's like, you know, an unlimited ocean compared to a drop. That much they can do, but what the actual experience is, that they're not explaining. Does that sound interesting? Yeah. Okay. Okay. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that pure devotees of the Lord execute devotional service with great determination. Such determination, as exhibited by Rukmini Devi, is the only price for purchasing Krishna's favor. One should be strongly determined in Krishna consciousness, and that is the way to ultimate success. So that being focused to always be engaged in Krishna's service, because the ability to do it is going to come from Krishna. But we have to have that, we have to set our mind to that's what we want to do to please Krishna. And Krishna seeing us with that, then things work out. The example given of the sparrow trying to, you know, dry up the ocean. Because the determination is there, therefore then help is there. Garuda came and then helped. The Brahmana concluded, "This is the confidential message I have brought with me. O Lord of the Yadus, please consider what must be done in these circumstances and do it at once," right? Because the wedding's the next day, right? In other words, the next day seems to be when she'll go, and then the day after that's the wedding. So the next day is the opportunity. Srila Jiva Goswami concludes, "The message is secret because of its serious nature. Since there are many topics in the message, the plural is used, Sandeshah. The secret message indicates that he is trustworthy and a good speaker. Krishna should also act secretly so that Rukmini will not be ashamed among her friends. I have just brought the letter. Consider it with gentleness in order to act according to its instructions." Right? So you have to consider all these things. He has to accomplish the thing, but he has to accomplish it in such a way that it's going to work out nicely for Rukmini. Right? Because you're working, therefore, within this realm, the feminine realm, therefore it has to work with that. It has to favor that. Does that make sense? That has to be, that's why then it was considered, don't come when she's in the house, come when she goes out to the temple. Because then, you know, who wants their house messed up? Right. Like that. We Brahmanas are straightforward, but you are most intelligent. You cannot say that you cannot act without consulting the Yadus, since you are the lord of the Yadus. Their intelligence is dependent on the strength of your intelligence. What is necessary should be done. It is not good to delay because of consultation when this occasion has arisen. Right, so he's pointed out the consultation is there, but that's there when you have time. When you don't have time, you have to use the intelligence, what's going to be practical for accomplishing it, but also in a way that will work out nicely for Rukmini. Right, since it's a relationship. It's not just a getting something done. Right? You have to consider that. And so then he's doing that. It has to be done. And being secret, it can't be then everybody knows about it, because everybody also has spies, so that means everybody else will know about it. So if they know Krishna's coming, then that will be more of a trouble, or they'll keep Rukmini inside, they won't let her come out, whatever. Something will go wrong. So being secret, and also the whole process has to be kept that way. Conclusion. One should be strongly determined in Krishna consciousness, and that is the way to ultimate success. Therefore, Rukmini desired to dedicate her life to observing severe austerities and penances, such as fasting and going without bodily comforts. If it were not possible in this lifetime to gain Krishna's favor by these activities, she was prepared to die from such austerities and undergo similar difficulties lifetime after lifetime. In the Bhagavad Gita, it said that pure devotees of the Lord execute devotional service with great determination. Such determination as exhibited by Rukmini Devi is the only price for purchasing Krishna's favor.
Kalindi is another example. Kalindi, one of the wives of Krishna, is another example of determination.
That's there. No, but what I was going to say is, of all the hundreds and hundreds of chapters, this, I would say, is an example of the perfect conclusion. This exactly sums it up. Because it worked from the beginning and it worked at the end. Well, some of them work in the beginning, not at the end, some at the end, not at the beginning. This was the perfect conclusion. Yes. Chapter 53. Krishna kidnaps Rukmini. Pratigya. The non-devotees cannot perceive the Lord's internal energy. Because that's the whole point, is that non-devotees can't understand this. Right? And so to that degree of faith that one has, one can understand. That's how it works. So by a good association. So like with your question before, the main thing is association. You associate with those who are more advanced, then you move forward very nicely. So that's the whole process. So if you see that there's a particular flavor or taste that you appreciate, you associate with that, and that moves you forward. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the whole process. Adhyaya Prakashika. This chapter describes how Lord Krishna arrived in Kundina, the capital of Vidarbha, and kidnapped Rukmini in the presence of powerful enemies. After Lord Krishna had heard the Brahmana messenger recite Rukmini's letter, the Lord said to him, "I am indeed attracted to Rukmini, and I know of her brother Rukmini's opposition to my marrying her." Right, one he'll know as the Supreme Lord, but at the same time as the king, because he's playing pastimes as a human. Therefore, they have their messengers, they have their spies. Point is every major kingdom has spies in every other major kingdom. Otherwise, then what's the point of being a major kingdom? Right, so everybody knows what's going on. Therefore, I must kidnap her after crushing all the low-class kings, just as one might generate fire from wood by friction. Right? So he'll destroy them by their own attitude, because their inimicalness to Krishna, that would be the cause of their being destroyed. Right? Because other kings, then they would be happy. So. Since the solemnizing of vows between Rukmini and Shishupal was scheduled to occur in only 3 days, Lord Krishna had Daruka ready his chariot at once. Then he immediately set out for Vidarbha, which he reached after one night's travel. So after 3 days, so that means the wedding would happen on that day. Then there's the programs the day before, you know, like that. And then there's, you know, things already start the day before that. Does that make sense? Because generally the wedding being a week, so then you have those 3 days, the third day being the wedding, and then you'd have four more days after that. On the fourth day, then they would do the ceremonies for going to the boy's house. Like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So this means is that technically the wedding's already starting the next day. It means preliminaries, but it's not if you're kidnapped in those before the vows are solemnized, then you're good. Like that. Yeah. King Bhishmaka, trapped by his affection for his son Rukmi, was prepared to give his daughter to Shishupal. Bhishmaka saw to all the necessary preparations. He had the city decorated in various ways and had its main roads and intersections thoroughly cleansed. Dhammaghosa, the king of Chedi, having also done everything necessary to prepare for his son's marriage, arrived in Vidarbha. Right, because then the boys' side of the family, then they come. And so then they're all received at that time. King Bhishmaka greeted him properly and gave him a place to stay. Many other kings such as Jarasandha, Salva, and Dantavakra. Yes, now you can see why he said low-class kings. Also came to witness the occasion. These enemies of Krishna had conspired to kidnap the bride if Krishna came. So they already had a plan. If they knew Krishna was there, they would just kidnap the girl because they know that he's going to make trouble, right? Jarasandha definitely has to know that Krishna can cause trouble, though the last time he just ran off. So by his running away, then he considered he's victorious. But if he actually sits down and contemplates it, he was defeated 17 times, right? Single-handedly. Yeah. They planned to fight him together and thus guarantee Shishupal his bride. So they would all fight, Shishupal would kidnap. Like that. You know, so if it could, because once she's kidnapped, then you can go about going through the regular, you know, ceremonies. Like that. But they first have to establish who's going to be marrying the girl. So if nobody's contesting, then you come up, the girl goes around seven times, then they do the panigrahana, the hands are tied. So at that point, no one else is going to get involved. Right? Once it's come to that. Yes. So it's got, because that's technically the Gandharva part of the marriage. So then they're technically already connected. So you'd have to be before this. So if Krishna showed up, then they would just make sure he kidnaps first. Then they'll start the marriage ceremony. Because otherwise, as it goes now, it's just supposed to go nicely with the marriage ceremony. Like that. Hearing of these plans, Lord Baladev gathered his entire army, and quickly went to Kundinapura. Kundina, okay.
It's the capital of Vidarbha.
Sorry?
It's the capital city of Vidarbha.
Yes, yes. Because here's Katinapura, I was just checking it was the same. On the night before the wedding, Rukmini, about to retire, had still not seen either the Brahmana or Krishna arrive. This is getting close. In anxiety, she cursed her bad fortune. But just then, she felt her left side twitch, a good omen. Indeed, the Brahmana shortly appeared and related to her what Krishna had said, including his firm promise to kidnap her. When King Bhishmaka heard that Krishna and Balaram had arrived, he went out to greet them to the accompaniment of triumphant music. He worshipped the lords with various gifts and then designated residence for them. Thus the king showed due respect to the lords, as he did to each of the numerous royal guests. The people of Vidarbha, seeing Lord Krishna, remarked to one another that he alone would be a suitable husband for Rukmini. They prayed on the strength of whatever pious credit they had, Krishna might win Rukmini's hand. Right, so whatever piety that they had, they were willing to give that so that Rukmini and Krishna can be married. Right? So that's the whole point of the surrender and all that. You hope for the other's benefit. This is sacrifice. Right? So you offer everything like that. So this is done in a natural, affectionate mood we see there. But we see the Karna gets that same kind of benefit by formally just giving all the credits of his piety. Does that make sense? So there it's that's done, then that's there. But here it's being done because of that devotion and that well wishing towards Rukmini and Krishna. So that will have even greater benefit, right? When the time came for Srimati Rukmini Devi to visit the temple of Sri Ambika, she proceeded there surrounded by many guards. After bowing down to the deity, Rukmini prayed to be allowed to have Krishna as her husband. Then she took the hand of a girlfriend and left the Ambika temple. Seeing her inexpressible beauty, the great heroes present dropped their weapons and fell to the ground unconscious. Like that, right? So, we know she looks good.
Okay. Stunning.
Yes, stunning. Yes. Like that. So, in other words, this is the perfect moment, because it's another thing. You come in there and they're all there and it's all a fight like this. It's not as how you say? Pleasant. But we see here is that they're so stunned by seeing her, because up to this point they haven't seen. So if Krishna makes any attempt, then they'll all counter and this and that'll all be this kind of Kshatriya thing, which is fine, but a little bit later, because first you have to address the girl, right? And so then when they're in this state, they're so stunned that when Krishna comes in and takes her, he kidnaps her, they're just all watching and going, oh, she's so beautiful and that, and oh, sees how she's getting on Krishna's chariot, and wow, how now they're riding off, and look at how beautiful and all. And wait a minute, you know. So it has that moment, you know. So then it'll work out nicely. Rukmini walked with deliberate steps until she noticed Krishna. Then, as everyone looked on, Sri Krishna took Rukmini into his chariot. Like a lion claiming his rightful share from a band of jackals, he drove back all the opposing kings and slowly made his exit. Like, slowly, you know, that's the... Followed by his associates, Jarasandha and the other kings, unable to bear their defeat and dishonor, loudly condemned themselves, declaring that this defamation was like a petty animal stealing away what rightfully belongs to the lion. Right? So the mode of ignorance, they see it completely opposite. Right? You know, so, yeah. So bare defeat and dishonor, because their determination was Shishupal is going to marry the girl. Because they know that everyone wanted her to marry Krishna. So for them, it's a victory if she doesn't and marries one of their boys, right? And so that Krishna captured her, then they'll consider that they're defeated and dishonored, because they've made a pact before that they're going to see that if Krishna comes, Shishupal will kidnap her, right? But they're also bewildered by her beauty that none of them can kidnap her. Only Krishna is able to do that. Shloka Anusharana. Summary verses 1 to 7. Krishna's arrival in Kundina, 8 to 21, King Bhishmaka greets the kingly order. 22 to 31, Rukmini's anxiety disappears. 32 to 39, Vidarbha Vasis shower their blessings on Rukmini. 40 to 57, Krishna kidnaps Rukmini. 1 to 7, Krishna's arrival in Kundina. Srila Sukadeva Goswami said, thus hearing the confidential... So it's Vyasadeva may know? Sukadeva knows, Vyasadeva may know, and Shiva may or may not know.
No, Sukadeva knows, but Vyasadeva may or may not know.
Okay, it's going that way. Shiva's saying it. Srila Sukadeva Goswami said, okay. Srila Sukadeva Goswami said, thus hearing the confidential message of Princess Vaidarbhi, Lord Yadunandana took the Brahmana's hand and, smiling, spoke to him as follows. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, the word to indicates a different topic. Krishna's reaction to the message, right? Because before us, the message is being read. So what is her mood? So now it's a different topic, because now it's what is Krishna's reaction. He took the Brahmana's hand in a remarkable way, with symptoms of prema, such as hairs standing on end. He took the Brahmana's hand to establish friendship and to show affection. He smiled remarkably, with slight embarrassment and with joy, right? So all these flavors together, right? He would give joy to the Yadus by marrying her, right? So his joy, and then naturally the Yadus, because she's such a qualified princess. Is that, okay, so now where are we? Yes, it'll be early. The Pandavas haven't. So this is at her time. And she is the princess. At Kunti's time, she was the princess. Rukmini, she's the princess at her time. Just like Draupadi will be the princess at her time. Right? So there's always these, you know, in the Kshatriya world, then there's always, this is happening. Right? Other worlds are not so worried about these, but the Kshatriya world, then it's something. The Supreme Lord said, just as Rukmini's mind is fixed on me, my mind is fixed on her. I can't even sleep at night. I know that Rukmi, out of envy, has forbidden our marriage. She has dedicated herself exclusively to me, and her beauty is flawless. I will bring her here after thrashing those worthless kings in battle, just as one brings a blazing flame out of firewood. Right? Because in fire you have the nature, it can take fire, so out of these worthless kings, if you thrash them enough, then you get destruction, you get fire. Right? Srila Jiva Goswami comments. Krishna said, I have been waiting in order to understand her desires. Now I will bring her here. Because he had heard about her, he's thinking of her. She's heard about him, she's thinking of him. But he wasn't sure of what her mood was. Because he knew the marriage was being arranged for Shishupal, and so then what can he do? Like that. But then when he hears that this is her mood, then he's willing to step in. Just like we see Arjuna. That he didn't want to kidnap Subhadra unless he understood that she was interested, because otherwise then the idea was that she would be arranged and married to Duryodhana, right? So he doesn't want to get in the way. But if he knows that she would rather marry him, then he's willing to kidnap. So the same way with Krishna, right? You know, it's just the cultured way of doing it, right? Yeah? Okay. I say cultured Rakshasa, right? You know, it's not. So that's the difference between the kings doing it and the Rakshasas doing it. Like we see, what was that Rakshasa? Puloma? Then he kidnapped Puloma? Right? The girl Puloma and the Rakshasa Puloma. Like that. They both had the same name, but it was originally she was engaged, the idea was she was married to him, but somehow or another became engaged to, married to a descendant of Bhrigu, I think. Or was it Bhrigu himself? I don't remember. But then he just came in, they're already married, and then when he sees that she's alone, he just takes her and runs off. So it seems the Rakshasas really don't worry about whether anybody's married or not, or what the arrangements are. You know, so he stole her from in the house, like that. So, yeah, so the kings, you know, the cult, he means the high class kings, then they work in a little bit different. Yes.
And what about Bhishma?
Bhishma?
Amba, Ambika, Ambika.
But it's just standard Kshatriya stuff, so it's not a problem. So we just see Krishna and Arjuna consider these things. Narayan, it's not a, you know, they can be more choosy. Because he needed to get married, Vichitravirya, and these were the three girls that were qualified at the time, because you always have to go by the timing. And so then, there wasn't any other real arrangement. Because Bhishma, being who he is, he can't ask for the girls. Right? So therefore, he just kidnaps them. Yes?
And then there was a Swayamvar arranged. There is a Swayamvar arranged, it means that they are not, committed to anyone.
Yes. Yes. Does that make sense? See, here they've said they're committed because they specifically don't want her to marry Krishna. But a Swayamvar means it's open season. Though there may be an idea, just like with Draupadi, they wanted Arjuna, so they set a task that only Arjuna could do. Or with these other like Krishna's wives, they set tasks that were, Arjuna's was the most difficult we saw, and only he could do it. But Krishna's one was the same, but more difficult. Like that. So as you couldn't mean Arjuna's, you could see the fish, but only for a moment. But this other one, you couldn't see the fish. And he had to do. So only Krishna could do that. Right? Who else could do that kind of stuff? Or fighting with the seven bulls or things like this. So it was arranged that they won. So it's a Swayamvar, but you know, like this. But these others, it's like Prabhu said, it's a general Swayamvar. So if that's where that's the better time to kidnap. Because then it's open, and the only ones that you have a problem with will be Kshatriyas. You know, no family members, no ladies or anything will get killed. So therefore then, it's preferable. So it's just the standard. You know, I'm saying it's standard, but we see Krishna and Arjuna, then they specifically, if they're interested, then they'll. Because even if they're interested, doesn't mean that they'll do. Like the wives of the Brahmins, they were interested, but Krishna said no. Like that. So, Srila Jiva Goswami comments, Krishna said, I have been waiting in order to understand her desires. Now I will bring her here. It's also a matter of taste. You know, because these things, you know, it just brings about more flavors and more variety. The Brahmana replied, until my coming here, you have ignored her, however.
Straightforward.
Yes, yeah, like you said, straightforward. You say this, but so this is a more high class. Instead of but, you say however. Krishna said, no, I am attracted to her wonderful qualities. With this intention, he describes her. She is dedicated to me. By that quality, all qualities are achieved. Right? So if you have that commitment to Krishna, that dedication to Krishna, that surrender to Krishna, all the other qualities develop. That's why it said, devotional service. You perform devotional service, all the other qualities, they come. You don't have to separately endeavor for them. So because she has such dedication to Krishna, that means she has all good qualities. Right? So he doesn't have to worry about who she is or what her position is. Yes?
In developing secondary qualities, we say no separate endeavor. However, Is it a
yes. See? It works so nicely, doesn't it?
Is it a conscious endeavor?
It means you may consciously try to be using the qualities when they apply within devotional service. But you don't have to, what we mean is you don't have to separately work at it. Just like, let's say, you're doing your service, right? And humility is a quality that's there. And then somebody deals with you in a way that is not actually appropriate. So then you have to exercise the quality of humility to maintain your Krishna consciousness. Does that make sense? So it doesn't have to be separately engaged. You don't have to go out and, you know, move the mat in front of the Panchatattva, you know, door and lie down there. The devotees can wipe their feet on you and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? You know, or you know, how you say, don't go to Hulagat. You get on at the front gate of the bus that's coming from Hulagat, because then it's already full. And then you ride that up to wherever you like to ride it, Dabulia, then you get off and then wait for the bus to come from Krishnagar and then get on again, which is already full, and then ride back. And do that all day until you become humble. You don't have to do that. Right? In the performance of your devotional service, plenty of opportunities will come up where you have to be humble, tolerant, respect others, and not look for respect. In fact, probably most all activities you do in devotional service, one of those four or any combination will be, appropriate, yeah, advised and appropriate to use. So that's the thing, is outside you don't have to separately endeavor. That's the weakness in taking these modern things of, oh, we all have to work together, we all have to, but where's the devotional platform to do that? That's the weakness in it, because it said, oh, you know, we should have, you know, work together and support each other. But what is the platform which it'll be expressed? That's not discussed, because that's the devotional part. Does that make sense? So that's the whole idea, is that that's what should be done. But that we don't have plans like that. You know, it's just like, okay, we should all work there. I remember one Marwari was telling me, I mentioned this before, that in their community, in their town or like that, if anybody was getting married or came new, but was from the community, everyone else in the community all gave one brick. And so by giving one brick, it was enough to build a whole house. You know, and a Marwari house is not a small house. You know, so a big bungalow they could build with the amount of bricks they'd get. So right there, they have all the bricks. Now all they need is cement and labor. So you know, it's all, that's community. But we don't discuss a practical doing something. People move to my, what are we going to do for them? How are we going to help? That's not the, oh no, but we should, you know, come here, we should do things together, you know, like that. You know what I'm saying? So we'll make up things to express community rather than using the devotional process to, how do you say, engender community. Does that make sense? So that's why it said you don't have to separately endeavor because it's already there. You can already do that. That's the weakness of the modern concepts because there is no community in the modern. Because if you do have a community, they have rules and regulations, and that's the last thing we want to follow when it comes to community. So we can't do that from there. You understand? So you have to be able to take the qualities required to do your service as recommended by the acharyas and then applying that. Then that works. You know, just like for us, it's that humility, it's that dependence upon the Lord, the confidence in the Lord's mercy. These are the things that will make it go. But when we take from the modern, no, you should think I can do this, yes, you know, like that, I you know, all these kind of things to encourage yourself. And then, but we don't see that it's getting anywhere. Does that make sense? Because it's separate from devotional service. So unless you have the material qualification, you can't use them. But if you use the devotional, since it's connected to the soul, all good qualities are there. Therefore, the soul can use these good qualities. So if it's connected to Krishna's service, we can use them. But if it's not connected, unless we already have them, you can't use them. Does that make sense?
Because it sounds quite simple. We put Krishna in the center. Everything else happens automatically.
Yes, yes.
It's a matter of time, I guess. Then.
It's just time. So in other words, how much we can put Krishna in the center, that much we do. But if we continue that process, then that will become more and more until, like here, Rukmini Devi, it's complete. You know, like that. So as he says here, just as Rukmini's mind is fixed on me, my mind is fixed on her. I can't even sleep at night. So that kind of absorption is there. Does that make sense? So, in other words, when he does sleep at night anyway, he's thinking of the gopi, he's thinking of something. So he's thinking of the devotees, just like you see, it's mentioned, the cowherd boys, when they go to sleep at night, they just think about what they were playing with Krishna and things like that. So it's a natural thing, but here it's bringing out because it has the flavor because of the conjugal rasa, then this point of not sleeping, they can't even lay down. So is that kind of, yeah. So it just has that flavor, but that absorption is there. So if we understand the process and keep doing the process with that faith and determination, you know, that 241, Vyavasyatmika Buddhi, Bhagavad Gita. If that's there, then we see is that all the other things follow. Krishna said, no, I am attracted by her wonderful qualities. With this intention, he describes her. She is dedicated to me. By that quality, all qualities are achieved. The devatas constantly dwell with all good qualities in that person who has pure bhakti for the Lord. So the pure bhakti, naturally all the qualities go. So basically we have a problem until we get to pure bhakti. Like that. That's the, you know, slight minor. But the point is it's something that can be done because we're talking about bad qualities for unlimited lifetimes, and in one lifetime we can cross over that. So it is. So we can see bhakti's is the most powerful process, if that could happen. But the point is as we start developing and moving towards pure devotion, we see qualities start to develop. So when one has pure bhakti, then all good qualities are there. So any devotee, some good qualities are there. But as they progress, then more and more qualities are there. Or qualities may be there, and as they get purified, they become deeper and deeper. So it just gets better and better. That's the thing, that the perfection gets better and better. There are no good qualities in the non-devotee who chases after temporary material objects with desire for material pleasure. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.18.12 means they may be using, but they're using because it works. Does that make sense? I go to the office, I'm nice to the guy in the office because it's efficient for getting my paper signed. Actually, I couldn't care less about the guy, but I'm nice because I want my paper signed. I could go in there and be snarky, and I might not get my paper signed. So I want my paper signed. I'm nice. You understand? So you may say, oh, he's such a nice guy and his dealings, he's nice, because it works. That's all. Someone's pious, they're inclined towards using these nice things, but their only purpose is that it actually works for them. Because you take the same nice guy and put him into a situation where nothing works for him, he may not be the nicest guy. It happens. Right? Because their qualities that they're manifesting are only their qualities in the cycle of samsara that they're at the moment. The next moment it changes, the qualities change. So they may be developing some qualities, then they'll lose the qualities. Then they'll gain the qualities, they'll lose the qualities. So they're temporary. They're not qualities of the soul. While devotees, devotional service, you see good qualities, that's actually the qualities of the soul, not of the condition. Okay. So, yes.
Maharaj, we talk about purity, so we know purity in Sambandha, Abhidaya, and Prayojana in terms of devotional service. So if in any of those we miss purity, means we understand Sambandha, what's pure devotional service, but we can't practice it.
Right.
And Prayojana, we also know what it is, but then somehow we miss the other parts. Can we still call it pure devotional service?
Pure devotion means where your intent is just to please Krishna. But the point is pure devotion can go down as far as a neophyte. But generally we would take pure devotion from the Madhyama platform. But neophytes can be. That generally just means they have that faith and determination. In other words, they have Uttama faith. Right? But they may not know Shastra so much or be so situated in all the technicalities of all devotional process. But that faith in that is there, so then they're counted like that. So basically you can say is you can have that faith but not be so, how you say, technically so grand. But whatever you're doing, you're nicely situated in that. So you're chanting, you're reading, whatever you're doing. So it may not be as big as what someone else is doing, but it's going to be good. So someone's situated in pure devotional service, then that's there. So we have the understanding of it. So that's the first step. But then by practicing, then we actually start to realize pure devotion. Like that. So we want that sambandha jnana of what's pure devotion. And on that only make our endeavor, though our endeavor may not be pure devotion. But if our knowledge and understandings and practices are based on pure devotion, that's going to give the best benefit for us to come to pure devotion in the quickest way. So if we understand pure devotion, we've heard that from the devotees, the advanced devotees, then by that practice, then we'll come to that platform very quickly. Is that so? Yeah. Previously, she described his qualities in form, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.52.37. Her qualities and form are similar to that description. So in other words, whatever Krishna's qualities are, she has the feminine counterpart of that. Right? Because they go together. Right? He is the Shaktiman, then the Shakti has the same qualities, but in the feminine form, well, he has them in the masculine form. So whatever good qualities she's describing about him, those are the qualities she has. Otherwise, why would she be describing those qualities? Right? Like you see, the different devotees, according to their prayers, they're speaking according to their realization of Krishna. So what they themselves are able to see, that's the qualities of Krishna they glorify. So that means that's the realization they have. Does that make sense? So then you see is when you see the demigods, and they're talking about him being the greatest, him being the controller, him being the, you know, everything works according to his plan. He's the creator, maintainer, destroyer. He enters everything at the same time. He's separate. You'll see that their prayers are always that, because that's their level of where they function. So therefore they see that. While the gopis can say the same thing, but the wording will be different, because they're just seeing Krishna in Braj. Right? Even though these other words will be used, but they're just seeing that in connection with him in Braj. And so they're the natural counterpart for Krishna in Braja. So Krishna as a blooming youth in the masculine feature, they're the blooming youth in the feminine feature. So therefore, they'll notice the qualities that in Krishna that they themselves have. Because otherwise, what's the meaning of being an ashray to the vishray if you don't have those qualities to interact? Does that make sense? Yes.
So Maharaj, with the demigods, are they seeing that the activities that he's performing, they're wonderful, so he's wonderful, whereas the devotees of Vrindavan are seeing that he's wonderful and all of his activities are wonderful along with
that?
Yeah,
that would be a nice way to say it, because the activities are then going to be, you know, Paramatma that they're seeing, because they see him as Paramatma.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. Is his qualities means the she means qualities are his potencies.
Yeah.
She is the potencies, so naturally they're going to be the same. Just that he'll have the masculine form, she'll have the feminine form, because they're non-different, but they're different. No. Mother, to go to the last verse, I think 55.
Shriyakanta.
No, the one before that, before Shriyakanta.
Yeah,
I'm Kamakrodha Sahaja, like that. Because of their particular attraction to Krishna, they take on that form. So, therefore, Mother Jashoda's attraction to Krishna in the parental ras, then she takes on that form that perfectly matches that. So, because it's Krishna's qualities that's attracting, and they want to serve that, they take on the form that has the natural complement to those qualities. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So they naturally match. No, that's why it said here is that you see what are the similar qualities and then work on that, right? Because attraction may be there, but qualities are more important. You know what I'm saying? Because attraction is a generic thing, but then the specific qualities one's attracted to, then one has to see that that's the basis of the relationship. Is that so? Yeah. So, you know, yeah. So we see is that all these different aspects of Krishna, you know, what he does, how he does things, how he interacts, how he looks, you know, his intelligence, his, you know, everything is there. So then they have the natural reciprocation of that. Is that something?
Yeah.
I will crush the royal misfits. This shows his determination to protect her, as stated. He calls them misfits since they had no shame, though constantly conquered and insulted. Right? He's always Krishna is always defeating them, but they keep on going, you know, that they're fine and that they're great royal personalities. They had not given up their foolishness. I will crush them in battle, not by disappearing through Maya. This shows his prowess. Just the sacrificial fire is covered by wood, but shines forth by effort. So with effort I will deliver her. Right? So, in other words, all the glories that will be there will be done through an effort. You know, just like the sacrificial fire is already in the wood, but through effort you bring it out. So that's the whole point, is that the devotional act, devotional service, is that we simply bring it out of the particular thing we work with. Right? So it's not about the wood, it's about the sacrificial fire. Right? It's not about the technique is only there to bring out the fire. Does that make sense? So the important element is the fire. And then according to your ability, you bring out you use the technique. But the technique is only because it brings out the fire. So the technique in devotional service is only there because it brings out the expresses the devotion. Right? So when our devotions are less, our show of devotion is by following the rules that are given by the acharyas that are recommended to follow. Then by following that shows our devotion. Right? We're willing to follow the rules. That shows the devotion.
So is Krishna saying that he's going to bring forward the fire-like amongst these wood-like things?
You could say that, or he's going to crush them in battle. So from the battle, then he'll bring forth, you know, his glory of being able to do it. He won't do it just because he's the Supreme Lord. And so therefore then, it's not just he'll use his Maya and then bewilder them. He'll actually put in the effort and from that bring forth the victory, which means, and as she said, she's the result of that, that victory. She said, yeah, the rightful claim. Rightful share. Yeah, she says, winning me with your valor. Well, maybe it was in what the acharyas said.
The reward for your show.
Sorry?
37. The reward for your
show. Yeah, and which one?
37.
37, but which shloka?
Vishnu Sikorti Kabu Pamit Lakshya.
Okay, suddenly snatch me away the reward for your show of strength. So in that, then he defeats them through his effort, you know, and brings from that, she is the, what do they call it? The reward for his show of energy.
It's so poetic.
Yeah, no, that's the whole thing, is it's all poetic. And then Krishna's response, because it's about rasa, it's not about just being efficient. Right? It's about rasa. So that's okay, just as sacrificial fire is covered by wood, but shines forth by effort, so with effort I will deliver her. It is understood that he gave an elaborate message as an answer. Srila Sukadev Goswami continued, Lord Madhusudana also understood the exact lunar time for Rukmini's wedding. Thus he told his driver, Daruka, ready my chariot immediately. Right, so then, because the point is that you have marriages are by certain times. Right? And this is established by Shastra. Shastra comes from Krishna. So he knows the moon, he knows the place, he knows what's going to be the thing, so he knows what's the proper time. So then he knows how much time he has. So then, yes. Srila Jiva Goswami comments. Out of affection, she had told him to come surrounded by soldiers. She also told him to come secretly. Right? Unknown to the enemy, right? It's always the, how you say, one of the qualities, the impossible, right? It was proper for her to speak in this manner. With desire to protect her, and because of his and her shyness in front of the people, he went alone. Right? So there's that aspect of that. That is the intention of this verse. He particularly understood the constellation of the marriage, externally from the messenger and from astronomy, and internally because of his omniscience. In another form, he had eagerly destroyed the race of demons, Madhusudana. This shows his kingly nature and indicates his future victory, right? Because they use the term Madhusudana. So that means he destroys the demons. So who's there? Demons, right? It also indicates that like a bee, Madhusudana, becoming unsteady in greed for the fragrance of the lotus, he had become unsteady on thinking of Rukmini. He was equipped with all his weapons. Right? So he had become unsteady there and being absorbed, and so now he will then go. Daruka's readying the chariots, and now he will go and catch the bride. Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Shainatai Gaura Prabhupada ki.